Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This parable of the 10 virgins is probably a parable you all know very well. Jesus is no longer messing around in the ministry in Jerusalem. He gives this parable in the middle of Holy Week, and we'll have a couple of more parables as well from these last days. The day of the bridegroom's appearance was at hand, and the foolish ones were about to miss out. The bridegroom is standing right in front of them, yet they were not prepared. Now, I'm no Boy Scout, but I can imagine even you all can say their mantra, always be prepared. Obviously, people will be found unprepared for the day of our Lord's coming. In midst of such unpreparedness, our Lord is still gracious to send out holy messengers to make his coming known. But the question that we often wrestle with is, why are so many seemingly unprepared? Why does God do what he does and not make it seemingly easier for everyone to be ready for his coming? Why doesn't he give us the exact day and time that he will arrive? Why does Jesus in the parable say that the bridegroom is coming soon, but no exact time? Why does it seem that God is always allowing people to be unprepared for such an important day? God's promise that his salvation would come, he always said, was coming soon. But the term soon, and the meaning of it, is in the eye of the beholder. Explain what it means that Christmas is coming soon to a child, and you get the idea. They may have to still wait for a month and a half, not tomorrow. The meaning of soon is in the eye of the beholder. And it's also a matter of faith. If we knew the exact time, why would we have to live by faith? So some may be found without their lamps or without oil for their lamps because they had a different idea about what the word soon means. Maybe that's why many of the Jews, even of Jesus' day, such as the Sadducees, gave up really believing the word of God that had been given to them. They had moved away from believing in the miracles of the Exodus and the Red Sea. They had stopped believing in the promise of the resurrection of the dead. Some Jews, even today, have given up the promise of a Messiah, saying it's all a myth. And it's not just the Jews who have fallen victim to such thoughts. Some Christians are already wondering if it's going to ever happen. Waiting for something to come soon is hard to do, because who knows what soon means. So what do we know about our bridegroom's arrival other than he is coming soon? When will we enjoy the world as it was meant to be, perfect, without suffering, without tears, without pain? What calling is being talked about in our hymns for today, in the readings? Are we talking about the last day? Yes. But we don't know when that day will be. We just know that it's coming soon. Could the call also be talking about our own demise, our own death? Yes. But again, we don't know when that day will come either. The truth is we don't know when our Lord Jesus Christ will return at all, in his glory anyway, or when he will gather us to himself through death. But what we do know is what Jesus tells us to do, and thus, he says, to be prepared for both days, because they are coming soon. Herein lies the warning from Jesus. The darkness approaches. The day is far spent. It will not be a good day for those who are not found within the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise of the Lord sending his Son in humility has come and has passed. He came humbly riding upon the colt. He was afflicted on that visit. He came to make his wedding vow known. He came clinging to his bride, even unto death. He fell into the deep sleep of death, and from his blessed side flowed blood and water, from which his bride, the church, is formed. Our bridegroom still comes, still today, in humble means of word and sacrament, so that you and I might be made wise unto salvation and thus well prepared for the great and awesome day of the Lord when he returns in all of his glory. That means that there will be a day when the day of grace comes to an end. There will be a day when the bridegroom will walk into his wedding hall and the doors will be shut to those who are not prepared. If you don't know when either of these days will occur, your death or the day of the Lord's return and his glory, then you better never assume that you have enough oil to wait for them to come around. You will never have enough forgiveness. You will not have enough of God's word. You will not have enough of the sacrament, for you will run out of these things on your own if you are not keeping your lamp well fed. The wise virgins and the foolish ones had the same information. The bridegroom was coming soon, but only the wise had enough oil for the wait. They did not have to wonder what the bridegroom meant by soon. They were simply prepared for the time of waiting, no matter how short or how long it may be, trusting that the bridegroom would eventually show his face and make glad the bride. The foolish, it seems, gave up on waiting. Some probably assumed that since the bridegroom had not arrived in a timely fashion, the bride would be left at the altar humiliated. And we see this even today. There is animosity towards God making us wait for his justice to make itself known. Then there are other foolish ones who think that they have enough just on their own. And there are far too many people, even with their names on church rolls across this land of ours, that think they are just fine. Because I got Jesus once, and that's enough. They claim that they are once and always saved, that they have all that they need, until they don't. And we mustn't allow that pitfall to come into our own minds. We rather should be encouraging one another not to give up the meeting together with the fellow saints. We as Christians should encourage one another to be where Christ's promises are proclaimed every Lord's Day, that we might never run out of the oil that keeps our lamps burning. How long until the lamp of oil runs out and the flame fades? How long does it take for absence from worship with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and your neglect of the Word of God and His gifts to negatively impact your life of faith? I'd rather you not find out. This is the place where our Lord Jesus Christ gives out His oil, and it's given without price. But how often do we play the part of the foolish virgin? For worse, we may be here in worship and call ourselves wise. We don't see one or two of our brothers and sisters and fail to reach out and check in and encourage them to join us to be fed, so that their own lamps do not burn out. Wise saints are those who hear the word of Christ and encourage others to do the same and actually make it known to them that it's encouraging to see for their own faith, to see them with us. There is encouragement for your brothers and sisters going both directions. People's attendance affect other people, and actually reaching out to those who are not here bring encouragement to those who missed. The wise virgins did the right thing when the foolish one said, "Give us some of your oil." They pointed out that they needed to go get their own. There would not be enough for both of them to share. And they sent them to the dealers. But the foolish were too late in recognizing their need for such oil. Behold, the bridegroom comes, and he comes soon. A person well prepared is one who listens and takes to heart the word of our Lord. Our lamps need to be fed by the word of God so that our faith is strengthened and thus not weakened. A well-fed life is one that is replete with confession and repentance, trusting that God is merciful and that he forgives our sins for the sake of his Son, Jesus. It is a life that finds you here at this altar, eating and drinking the body and blood of your bridegroom, Jesus Christ, the true bridegroom of the church, who has counted the cost and paid for your ransom by his very own blood. But life is not so simple. There are times when we are downtrodden, when sons and daughters leave the church, when events in the world make us wonder if it's all worth the wait. There are times when even the faith or the flame of the wise is just a flicker. But our Lord and God is not one who snuffs out the flickering wick. He speaks tenderly to you, just as a husband does to his beloved. He does not kill your spirit, but raises you up from the pit of your own despair. For your God comes, and he saves you. He cleanses and washes you, and in his eyes you are glorious and worth all the effort that he has put forth, so that you might be his forever. We are Christ's, and Christ is ours. As we wait for the wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom and the joy therein, we will have times of woe and of times of sorrow. Woe because of the sin in the world, sins that are committed against us and sins that we have committed. Woe because of the rebellion against the word of God that we see in the world and even in ourselves. But the woes that we experience now are nothing like the woes that will come at the end. And we can lift up our heads in faith and even rejoice, because with these things, we know that our redemption draws nigh. Your bridegroom is here, even now, giving you his unending love. The light is here, and the darkness cannot overcome him. Christ is here. Forgiveness and life are here. While we wait for the bridegroom to be seen in his glory, Jesus is not far off. He breaks into our own lives now, keeping you and sustaining you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. He is the one who gives his word and promise that we be well stocked with oil for our lamps. He is here in water and word, bread and wine, here in these days of woe, so that we might find refuge from the lion who seeks to devour us, until we enter all that wedding hall to eat the supper at his call. So we in these latter days are encouraged to encourage one another, to be prepared for the bridegroom who is coming soon. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's around the family dinner table. We have the words of St. Paul: encourage one another to be and remain faithful as we wait. We are able to encourage one another to be steadfast in the word of God, to confess and repent, to forgive and receive forgiveness, can encourage one another to be here for the Lord's table often. We can and should have mercy and do good to one another and not have hidden agendas or look for hidden agendas, but take everything in the kindest of ways. Encourage those who are weary and heavy laden, for you too will be that way one day. Encourage those who doubt and give confidence found in Christ's promise. Encourage one another in all times and trial of life as we wait for the bridegroom to come. In the name of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.